Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. Stand by. Let's go. In walks a supervisor in the middle of a circle formation, also known as a service talk. He explains to the clerks that we do not have enough personnel to run operations tonight, so I'm going to need you to do like you do every night, and let's go with one clerk per machine. I know it violates your contract, but you've never cared before, so how about if you don't pick tonight as the night to start caring? Let's have a podcast. Good morning, APWU members, and welcome to Center Stage for Kenny Hodges' Postal Podcast. Again, as I try to always inform everyone, I represent no union. I speak for no union. The voice you hear is my voice, and it is a voice that has been developed within the Postal Service for the past 38, 39 years. Tonight, I want to talk to my brothers and sisters, the clerks, mail processors. You know, you as a body of people allow postal management to take advantage of you on a regular basis, and most of you are aware of it. And what I mean by that is, you know as well as I know that one clerk running a DBCS machine all night violates safety, and it is a contractual violation for APWU members. Now, tonight, again, because I have a lot of friends in the APWU, and I speak to them on a day-in, day-out basis, so because of my past postal background, I think I am somewhat knowledgeable to deliver a message to the APWU clerks at work and tell them the Postal Service takes advantage of you on a regular basis. They care not about your safety or a safe work environment. They only care about intentionally hiring less people than is needed and expecting you to work in an unsafe manner when I say one clerk on a machine for the whole operation instead of staffing that machine properly. Now, what it really does, this is before we get into the meat of the matter. The Postal Service sets that entire mail processing department up for failure. Now, and let me say this. A lot of times you guys do, the employees, guys being masculine and feminine, work with me, please. The employees back there do an excellent job. But you got to remember, you are being judged or measured against a standard that is designed for two people. Your startup and your close out of an operation, that's not part of your actual throughput. Let's be for real now. When we start talking about your throughput that the post office likes to tell you you make or you don't make, that's based on a feeder and a sweeper continuously, not intermittently. In order for that feeder to keep that jogger full of mail and prepared to slide the next 2 feet of mail on those leads to be fed into the delivery barcode sorter, the sweeper, the other part of the 1-2 punch, must ensure that these bins are continuously swept out. You see, you've been led to believe, and I'm telling you, anything that I say to you right now, you fact check me if you want to. You've been led to believe that it's okay to have those pockets 50%, 60% full of mail. You've been led to believe that's okay. That's not okay. That is the reason why delivery barcode sorter is a 2 to 2.5 person operation. Because don't quote me on this, but I'm kind of certain the actual complement that came out for delivery barcode sorters was 5 clerks per 2 machines. Now, that may have changed over the years. Again, I've been out of the game for a long time. But the good thing about the post office, if you ever knew it, you will always know it. Let's talk about how the post office disrespects the clerks as people, and they definitely disrespect you, the craft of APW, the union of APWU, by not adhering to contractual obligations and then taking an even bolder stand by not paying clerks the agreed upon difference that the post office said they would pay the clerks for working solo. And you've been working solo so long on a machine that you've convinced yourself that one clerk is better than two. Well, let me help you understand something. I don't care how good you are. One clerk is never better than two. When it comes to operating DBCSs, and only DBCSs, does the analogy that I'm presenting you with, one clerk is never better than two. Only in DBCS operations, and I hate to keep saying that, but I don't want anybody to take me out of context. Now, what I'm going to do, we're going to get to some factual data here real quick. I'm going to read to you from the settlement agreement between the United States Postal Service and the American Postal Workers Union, AFL-CIO. Just for those who actually follow and want to do research on what it is I'm saying, the response would be Q10C-4Q-C-161-30532. The APWU number on this step four grievance would be APWU hashtag HQTG 201-600-85 DBS staffing. So what I gave you was a step four number for the agency and the union. And we're talking about a step four related to DBCS staffing. And the reason I'm going to read this to you rather than just continue give you my feelings, because my feelings are based off of the step four decision. And the reasons follows. Recently, the parties met at step four of the grievance arbitration process to discuss the above referenced grievance. Again, DBCS staffing. The primary issue is this dispute is whether the current delivery barcode sorter systems, aka DBCS, normal staffing of 2 clerks per machine, should be a minimum requirement to address certain safety and ergonomic issues as identified by the APWU. The parties are in agreement that pursuant to Article 14, Section 1, and just so we're clear, let me stop right there for a second, and I'm going to go to Article 14, Section 1. And Article 14, Section 1, and those of you who follow union politics or union business understand, 14.1 deals with safety and health. And the reason I want to point out that 14.1 deals with safety and health, everyone understands in the Postal Service, the only legitimate reason you have to not follow through on an order or a direct order, as the agency likes to so eloquently call it, is it's going to do harm to you, others, or it's a safety violation. Again, this whole step four grievance deals with Article 14, which is safety and health. Now, I'm going to prepare the table for you clerks, but you have to bring your own appetite and utensils in order to eat. 14:1 says, it is the responsibility of management to provide safe working conditions in all present and future installations and to develop a safe working environment. The union will cooperate with and assist management to live up to this responsibility. The employer will meet with the union on a semi-annual basis and inform the union of its automation systems development programs. I want to stop right there and I ask each member, what do you know about the automation systems development program? Well, if you don't know, ask somebody, and don't be surprised if that somebody you ask, they don't know either. Then getting back to 14:1, the employer also agrees to give appropriate consideration to human factors in the design and development of automated systems. Human factors in ergonomic of new automation systems are a proper subject for discussion at the National Labor Joint Management Safety Meeting. Now, I'm going to leave it right there with you because I want you now to say, yes, I've been informed of these meetings. I've been informed by my union or whomever that someone is addressing this concern. Now, let's go right back to the step four decision. Again, the parties are in agreement that pursuant to Article 14, Section 1, which I just read, and remember, and please remember, 14:1 deals with safety and health. It is the responsibility of management to provide safe working conditions in all present and future installations and to develop a safe working force, in accordance with the Elm and Labor Relations, Section 891. Authority, the Postal Service complies with applicable federal laws, regulations, and OSHA guideline materials regarding ergonomics. I am still reading to you from that step four decision. The parties further agree that the 2012 JSIM Article 37, JCAM, I'm sorry, they always correct me on that. It's a Jersey thing, I guess. Article 37, page 76, OCR, DBCS, staffing. Question and answers. Now, listen to me. I'm going to slow down a little bit. Question and answers addresses the only exception to the normal staffing of two mail processing clerks on the DBCS at all times. Did you hear what I just said to you? At all times. There are exceptions. And those exceptions deal with startup and then close down of the operation. So what I'm saying to clerks in Columbus, Ohio, again, you allow management to respect you as people and disrespect your position as union members. You allow management to make the fight that your union fought for you and won on a step four grievance, or got a decision on a step four grievance, you, by your actions of working one clerk on a machine, you tell your union thanks but no thanks for all the hard work you put in for these members. Now, I want to say to you that that's not the way to thank your union. See, the way to thank your union is to abide by and come into compliance with what it is they fought so hard for you to get. Let that marinate. So, clerks, in short, what I'm saying to you is every day you work one person on a machine, let me say this to you. Article 14 in your contract says that is a safety concern. So the fact that it's a safety concern, I am rather shocked that your union don't advise you of such. Now, I know most employees think that it is upon them to help the post office make their mission, but I'm here to say not really that way. It is up to postal management to staff each functional operation to ensure the postal mission is met, and that postal mission is outstanding service to our customers. As I bring this podcast to a close, to all the mail processing clerks in Columbus, Ohio, I want to go back to the Step 4 decision letter, third paragraph, first sentence, and I'm going to read it slow because I need you to grasp and hold on to what I'm about to say to you. And that is, the parties further agree that the 2012 JCAM Article 37, page 76, OCRs, that's BCS, DBCS staffing question and answers addresses the only exceptions. And you got to hold on to that, folks. You got to understand that in that JCAM, they're only talking about the exceptions to the normal staffing of two mail processing clerks on the DBCS at all times. Now, again, this isn't Kenny Hodges' words. These are the words coming to you from a Step 4 decision between the American Postal Workers Union and the Postal Service. Now, I'm going to say this again, because repeating an important message is never a bad thing. When your union spends money and time and effort in researching issues and they render a decision for the craft, then I want you to know that it is incumbent upon the craft to abide by those decisions. If not, what is the point? When your union goes to Step 4 and comes back with a decision that says there should be two clerks on the machines at all times, with the exception of startup and close down, and let me tell you something, clerks, there are additional exceptions to that. If a short program is deemed by management that it can be ran without full pockets or 75% pocket jams because the volume of mail is so light and it must be documented, then they can assign one clerk. But I want to read one other thing to you from the theory of operations of a delivery barcode sorter. When the stackers, again, because I don't understand why you work one clerk on a machine. I applaud that type of commitment to Postal Service. Again, you have a commitment to taking care of our customers that postal management don't even begin to understand. But again, I'm going to just give you a little information from the theory of operations. When a stacker becomes 75% full, the display stacker panel indicator warning light is the condition, and the feeder stops unless a designated overflow pocket has been selected. If so, the computer begins diverting mail to the overflow pocket. And what I said was, when that stacker becomes 75% full, there are one or two things that's going to take place. One, your LED lights are going to come on and tell you that that bin needs to be sweeped, and your machine will stop. Or your LED lights will come on and tell you that that bin is almost full and it's going to divert good mail that should be in sequential delivery order, whether you're running first pass or setting up for your second pass, 918 or 919 run. And when you send mail to reject bins, you create additional mail that letter carrier has to handle, mail that should have been in his DPS processed mail. Does that make sense? When a stacker becomes 100% full, the display panel indicator warning light signals the condition and the feeder stops, again, unless there is a designated overflow pocket. So what I'm saying is, when you think you're doing an outstanding job, one person on a machine, every time that 75% bin light comes on, if the post office hasn't already programmed pocket or bin deviation, which means that 75% of that meal now kicks to the reject bin. If they haven't done that, then the machine stops, which now means you have to stop feeding to walk down and get that full pocket, which now means your machine is running, burning up idle time, which is going to hinder you from, hinder that machine from reaching the productivity that the post office has set for that machine. Folks, I could talk to you all day about this, but I'm going to cut it off right now. I want to say to the clerks, hey, talk to your union, talk to people, and stop letting the post office take advantage of you. Now, again, if they're going to pay you double money or some overtime hours for working one on a machine, then you have to look at and see, is it more profitable for me to do make the extra money hustling one machine, one person on a machine, or should I just stand tall and support my union and say, listen, we have a step four decision that says there must be two people after startup shutdown, or if I'm running a short plan that don't fill pockets up. Anything short of that, hey clerks, hear the podcast, understand what's taking place, and then you make intelligent decisions. This is Kenny Hodge, and I should be ending this podcast now, but I'd feel remiss in my duties in my attempt to, again, just bring certain issues to light properly with respect to how work conditions are at Columbus, Ohio. So what I want to do is, before I shut it down, is I'm going to go to Article 37 in your JSIM, JKIM. Article 37, page 75. And I want you to understand the questions that your union put forth. And here's the answers. And this is how it's interpreted. Again, I'm reading from your Joint Contract Interpretation Manual, May 2017. And again, here we go. Does the settlement mean that there must always be two mail processing clerks assigned to the OCR, BCS, or DBCS? The response is no. That is the normal staffing. Would it be a violation if there was only one clerk working on the OCR, BCS, or DBCS at the start of the run? And again, no. There may not be a need for two mail processing clerks at startup or closeout. Now, one thing that you might want to do, just so you feel empowered or enlightened, have your union define what they consider startup and what they consider closeout, so at least you have a base from which to oppose or accept. Question number three, would it be a violation if there was only one clerk working on the OCR, BCS, or DBCS because of the limited volume for that sort program? Once again, the normal staffing is two mail processing clerks, but there may be circumstances where the staffing is reduced. Last one. Thank you for allowing me to introduce this information to you. But the last one would be, would low volume zone runs be an example? Yes. If the volume available for a DPS zone is such that there is no minimal sweeping activity required during the run. Okay, there is no or minimal sweeping activity required during the run, one operator may be sufficient. One operator may also be sufficient if the volume is such that the operator can load, then sweep before the bins fill up, and then return to loading. This settlement addresses minimal staffing and is not intended to impact those offices where there have been agreements involving more than two operators per machine. My name is Kenny Hodge, and this was my attempt to enlighten mail processors in Columbus, Ohio, that your union fought and gained a decision that says you don't have to work in the manner in which Columbus, Ohio has you currently working. And all I'm doing is making you aware. Have a great day. No, I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm telling you to address it properly. Just so we're clear, everybody go to work and do the best you can do. But be aware of your work environment. And if it is decided by higher elements that certain things should take place in the workplace, then just insist that it takes place. Have a great day.